Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? And so you're asking the salesperson to throw away their typical script of
yes.
How are you today and tell me a little bit about your business, and making them actually either prepare or create on the spot.
It's a combination of that. So when we, from a preparation point, actually we teach our performers, I tell them that they need to know a little bit about a lot of it. They need to be well-rounded and be prepared about just the world in general. So When someone shows up for a show and they give us a suggestion, the improviser looks super smart as if they know
it. Oh, so they play to an audience? Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody. Good evening, everybody. And welcome to Sell or Die, the preeminent sales and personal development podcast on the planet. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling, and I'm joined.
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the best sales and personal development podcast on the planet.
Before we begin to pontificate, our guest today is the great Gina Tremarco. She's the founder of Pivot 10 Results and the Carolina Improv Center. Gina is classic, by the way. She's also a new member of the Sell or Die Network, and her podcast, Women Your Mother Warned You About, will I think it starts...
January 10th.
January 10th.
Oh, yeah.
So she's amazing. I'm just going to say that at the outset of this thing, because I actually like her. We're putting her podcast, It's So Damn Good, onto the voting thing for...
Yeah, so we have a poll in our Facebook group. If you're not yet a diehard, you can join. And it's the Sell or Diehard official Facebook group. And we have a poll right now for the best of. You are going to decide
Right. Which
were the best episodes of 2018. And we are adding this episode because it was so freaking good.
And I'm voting for Gina. Listen, Gina is going to talk today about the similarities between improv comedy and sales. And if you've been struggling with your sales closes, this is hysterical, historical, and bankable.
You guys are tipping the scales right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, come on. Somebody's got a five-star review.
Before we get to Gina, let's pop it over to Doug, who's going to give us that five-star review.
Ooh. All right, Flashback 4 writes, every morning I wake up at 4:17, that's very specific, 4:17 to head to the gym. The time passes by faster when I listen to Sell or Die. Jeffrey's quick wit along with Jennifer's contagious laugh. Let's hear it, Jen.
I can't do it on demand. Sorry. You have to say something funny.
All right. Well, Jeffrey's quick wit along with Jennifer's contagious laugh and thoughtful insights keep the podcast fun while also being informative. Thank you for the material, which can immediately be applied to increase my sales.
Wow,
you know,
I love that.
I like that, yeah.
I want to know what's up with that, like, 4:17 wake-up call. Like, I always have it on
call
the 5.
Ask them.
I don't know who it is. It's just Flashback 4. Oh. It should be Flashback 4:17.
That's true.
But anyway, like,
I
wake up on
verse.
The 5s or the 0s. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like everybody.
Yeah, well, maybe Flashback has their morning just precision.
Exactly. He knows
fixed.
It takes them
7 minutes
to drive to the gym.
3 minutes to get out of bed after the 7th?
No.
Like, I'm curious.
Honey, I have no idea.
Well, I have no idea either.
If you are not 4:17 and you would like to write a review for Sell or Die, please do so. Post it up.
On iTunes.
Yeah, and we'll read it.
A 5-star review, not a 4:17 star review.
That's
exactly.
correct. That's correct.
So what's up with you, Jen? You want to pontificate
so
about
this
what
is
you're...
pretty cool. So this week, this weekend, I'm exhibiting at something called Girl Tribe. It's in Charlotte, North Carolina, and there's going to be 4,000 to 5,000, maybe more, women buyers. And I'm going to have a booth with my book. I have new swag that we've created. So I have 3 new prints. We'll put in the show notes if you want to purchase them online. We'll put in the show notes where you can get them. They're actual prints from my book. They're really cool. They come framed. Notebooks, all this cool stuff. And I'm just so excited to meet new women and you know, just cool people.
Yeah, what is Girl Tribe?
So they support women, and
it's a bunch of girls, right?
Well, sort of, because there are men there, but it's not like men are not allowed. Okay, you can show up.
Okay.
But basically, the reason they came together, their story behind this, to my knowledge, is they wanted to empower female-owned businesses and support female-owned businesses, and so they create these pop-ups all over the country. They started here, though, where, you know, females can buy a booth and mm-hmm. sell their goods.
Oh, wow.
And
very cool.
Last year, I met some really cool vendors. Like, I met this girl who sold athleisure, and I checked her out online, and she had, like, 300,000 Instagram followers.
Wow.
So, like, these people are the real deal, you know?
Wait. What is athleisure? Because that part, like, you tried to sneak that by everybody.
Everyone doesn't know. It's like Lululemon wears, okay? So athletic leisure wear, athleisure. It's a new category of clothing.
Ah, okay. Just had to make sure.
Okay.
So this Saturday, as you know, in Charlotte,
yeah.
it's predicted to have a blizzard.
Yes. Yes.
So if you're going to come to this tribe, girls tribe thing, I would wear your snow boots.
Yeah, that's fine. Just, you know, bring okay, let me tell you. Like, today I walked the dogs. I am wearing long underwear from top to bottom, toe warmers, 3 layers of clothing, a winter jacket, a hat, a scarf, and 2 pairs of gloves.
And she was still cold.
Yeah, I cannot take it anymore.
So what do you get me for Christmas? That's our sidebar discussion.
Well, you know, I don't want to tell you.
Okie dokie.
What did you get me?
We have an entire Christmas episode for that.
Oh, we do?
Yes, you can tell her then.
I can tell you one thing I didn't get you.
What?
Garrett's popcorn, because everyone and their mother sends it to you.
Oh, my God, yeah. Okay, so let's...
What's going on with you, Jeffrey?
I personally am going to dedicate 2019 to becoming a better writer.
Cool.
And I have this book with me that I mm-hmm. am starting to read. It's by Robert Louis Stevenson. It is Learning to Write. Now, this is a guy who died almost at the turn of the century, the 1900th century, and wrote things like Kidnapped and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I mean, this guy was like a major, major writer, and this book will get inside his head as to how he did it, and he wrote with a pen, not a...
Are you going to go back to writing with a pen?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No, I'm a dictator in writing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm benevolent as a father, but as a...
But not so benevolent as a dictator either, though.
No, that's true.
I produce for you, so I should know that.
By the way, yeah. I'm not really about pens anymore. It's all about the Apple Pencil.
Ah. Well, I'm going to tell you that I want to know, diehards, what are you dedicating 2019 to get better at?
Mm-hmm.
I think that everyone needs some mission in order to be able to improve, and I'm seeking to improve my writing. And I'm going to read about how other people write. Most notably, Ernest Hemingway and Ayn Rand, 2 of my preeminent writers, and Robert Louis Stevenson.
So we talked about integrity a couple episodes ago. We'll post a link to that episode in the show notes as well. But one of my missions for 2019 is self-integrity in terms of doing what I say I'm going to do every time.
Come on. I was hoping you would stay the way you are.
And I'm making it our company word, one of our company core values for
integrity?
2000. Yes, because there are statistics that show a significant increase in improvement and efficiency and productivity if everyone does what they say they're going to do when they say they're going to do it.
Got it. So that's the integrity motto.
And it's so easy to like be like, yeah, I'll get that to you tomorrow, and then forget.
Ooh.
Okay. And not be like malicious about it. Just forget. You know? But when people are working at full integrity, I think the stat, and we can go back and look it up, but I think the stat was like their productivity levels went up 700%. It was something crazy town like that. And so that's going to be one of our core values next year.
Cool. Do what you say you're going to do.
When you say you're going to do it.
So let's talk about Gina. You want to give her a briefo intro?
All right. Gina Tremarco is amazing. She came to our studio for this recording.
A live event.
That's right. It was live at the time. And she believes that your sales can increase by one simple proposition, and that is yes and. Not no but yes and. And it's freaking phenomenal. She is the founder of Pivot 10 Results, and she founded her own improv center.
And she's funny.
This chick is on fire. Am I allowed to say that? Because
She is.
She's freaking awesome. You are going to feel her energy. You are going to feel her positivity. And you are going to be making more sales. Take a listen.
In the meantime, why don't you tell our listeners what the hell you do?
Oh, I stalk you. I stalk you. I own two companies, Carolina Improv Company in Myrtle Beach, which is an improv comedy club and school, and Pivot 10 Results, which is a training company. So we take improv and we put it into sales training so that we can teach people to be more human.
Got it. You make improv prov.
We teach you how to, their phrase is, if you want to maximize, you need to improvise.
I like that.
That's a good phrase.
I like that a lot. Okay, so where do salespeople start with this?
Yeah.
How can they use improv?
Because most of them pretty much suck as a
They're used to like reading a script or memorizing a script or learning some sort of playbook.
Playbook, right.
Yeah. How do you change that path?
It's, you know, we kind of fell into the sales training piece of it because we had so many salespeople taking our 6-week improv classes, specifically timeshare people.
Really?
We had all these timeshare people taking classes, and they all started telling me, well, I'm selling more since I started taking improv. And so I was digging through that process to figure out what was working for them. And what they were learning was that they were getting more comfortable getting off of their script and trying to read their customer and stop talking and listen and lean into the process and getting comfortable with the failure. So once we started, I see that pattern happening, we started to focus more on using that as a training tool for salespeople.
Isn't improv where you have to take a topic immediately and come up with some line or some humorous thing?
Yes.
And so you're asking the salesperson to throw away their typical script of how are you today and tell me a little bit about your business, and making them actually either prepare or create on the spot.
It's a combination of that. So when we, from a preparation point, actually we teach our performers, I tell them that they need to know a little bit about a lot of it. They need to be well-rounded and be prepared about just the world in general. So when someone shows up for a show and they give us a suggestion, the improviser looks super smart as if they know
it. Oh, so they play to an audience?
So for our performers, because we have shows, they play to an audience. But for a salesperson playing to an audience, they have to be able to take, like, let's just say a general sales objection. How do they take that sales objection and turn it into a yes and not get frustrated with it? Because the improv philosophy is called yes and, which is similar to kind of your yes attitude.
So isn't it So does the audience throw out an objection, like your price is too high?
Well, what the audience does from a performance standpoint, so the parallels there, when we ask the audience for suggestions, sometimes we'll get a suggestion, like this is my favorite, proctologist. Awesome. That's such a fun suggestion for us to now do a scene about. So how do you make the customer and the audience still feel like not an asshole? right? How do you take their
no pun intended?
Yeah. How do you take their suggestion and validate them? Because one of the rules of improv is make others look good, set them up to be rock stars. Mm-hmm. So when we get that like proctologist suggestion, which we know isn't going to be really fun.
Yeah.
We can play with the audience and say, oh, that is such a great suggestion, but do you really want to see a scene about that right now?
Huh. Yeah.
And then they all kind of stop and go.
So, let's do a t-shirt store on the beach.
Right. So yeah. You validate them without...
May I help you?
Or sometimes they'll say, we'll get the suggestion of stripper. And we do family-friendly shows.
Uh-huh.
And we do some 18-plus shows, but when we have a family-friendly show and the dad's like, stripper, I'm like, that's really great. I'm like, your six-year-old is right next to you. So we're going to do pain strippers, all right? Everybody go with that, right? So that it's still in the integrity.
The theme, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you just mentioned this very important concept that I don't know that all of our diehards know what you're talking about. Yes, and.
Yes.
Dig into that and tell us, what is it and how a salesperson can use that on a presentation?
So yes, and the philosophy in improv is I didn't invent it. Every improviser knows how to do it or should know how to do it. It's a concept. It's a philosophy of acceptance, first of all. So it's acceptance, not agreement. You're not always going to agree with everything that mm-hmm. someone throws at you. If you can accept an objection, accept an idea, and accept a belief,
mm-hmm.
and say, yes, I accept that. And here's part two.
Is it but?
You get rid of the but.
But is negative.
We're going to get rid of your but.
We just came from New York City where it's no and.
Oh, man. It really is.
Which is a yes but.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're trying to replace yes but with yes and. And so we say we're eliminating your but. So I know I saw you in Chicago and you said you were trying to lose some weight. But we're not talking about that kind of but.
Got you. Okay, cool.
So it's yes but.
No, yes and.
And so a guy says your price is too high. You go, yes, and
yes,
it's also without value.
Yes, our price is really high, and we provide more than this guy. And
so you don't say, but we provide more than the other guy.
No.
Because if you're watching an improv show, well, I've seen some of these where they use the concept. It's really interesting. Like, someone will throw something out there that's crazy town, and the next person who has to play off of it, you can see they're like thinking, no, but they're like, yes, and then they play to the next level.
Right. So it's a heightening. So yes, and is a heightening kind of mechanism to get to the next place. So you can use it not just in sales and overcoming objections, but you can use it in ideation and collaboration. How do we take something to the next level? And when we talk about yes, and I'm talking about the literal yes, and. You're not going to always get into a literal yes and situation. Now, when we do sales training, we teach them a literal yes and then we get them off the yes and so that it's more of a concept than it is a literal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because people will actually fall back into the literal once they
learn
it.
So let's stay on price for the moment. You could say, I agree, and there are other elements besides price that are meaningful to you. Mr. Jones, you cheap bastard.
Well, but you just said you don't have to agree. It's more about acceptance.
It's more of accepting their reality,
mm-hmm.
right? It's validating they think your price is too high.
So could I say most people feel that way? Or others feel that way too?
That others feel
or
that.
Or you're not the only one that thinks that?
Or I accept that and...
Or you can own it and go, yes, our price is higher because here's the value that we offer that might be different from a competitor. And then you can use a Jeffrey Gitomer power question.
You're someone who's done her research.
And you could insert that power question to get them to think about it, be provocative.
Okay. How challenging do you get to them?
What do you mean?
Well, you're improving. I'm satisfied with my present supplier. Not just your price is too high, but we only take people that are on our vendor list and you're not on the list. You know, there's strategic objections that occur. And there's only about 10 that I've found. I just gave you three of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick the other seven.
So let's actually back up a little bit before that whole process, right?
Okay.
Before the objection process, the yes and piece of it, first you want to use that in the relationship building. before you get to the objection building, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to use that yes and to really listen, lean in, hear what they're saying about themselves, mm-hmm. validate them before you get to the objection piece. So you're going to have some backup information before you get to those objections. Now you get to the objections. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you, which we'll be doing later, is when you get into there are businesses that you know, they have to go through a three-bid process because maybe it's a government contract. Mm-hmm. So how do you overcome that piece of it? So in the yes and, it's like, yes, you have other vendors, and I would love to be considered on your vendor list. What's that process? How does that look like? How do I get there?
And I would also add, can you tell me about people that did not have to bid?
Or can
I like
you
that.
Tell me about people whose the proposal was written for them?
Or can you tell me, seriously, there are single source vendors mm-hmm. that they couldn't find another person and they took the one bid and accepted it. So I always had tried to, and I've had it happen to me personally, where I petitioned the government to do a project a number of years ago, and they said, well, we have to find other people. I said, well, find them. And they came back like 3 weeks later and said, okay, we can't find anybody. We'll take your deal. So you have to look at it from the perspective of, can you make yourself, and I hate to use the word unique, but one of a kind enough to where no one else can compete with you? What is that uniqueness about you that nobody else has? And it's not just a competitive advantage. It's something that you have that the customer considers important mm-hmm. or important enough to want to desire to do business with you and then go look at the marketplace.
You know, I think about that for myself. What's our unique selling proposition, mm-hmm. right? We are different in a sales chain training arena because there are a lot of improv people out there who do this, but they don't have maybe the business background or the entrepreneurial background, mm-hmm. so they don't know how to mesh it together. And we're unique in that we do a way different type of training. We're not trying to be Jeffrey Gittimer. We're not trying to be Jeb Blunt. We're not, you know, we're trying to just take that improv piece of it and be really unique with it.
And so that's a good idea.
Yeah. So one of the power questions I will ask someone is, you know, what are you doing to get your people from behind their devices and in front of the customer? What are you doing to make sure that they're actually communicating again?
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a similar situation. Many of the people who are in my profession of speaking are told or advised to take acting classes mm-hmm. so they can be more – have more stage presence. And mm-hmm. The great Ed Brodo is a former actor and arguably one of the best presenters I've ever seen because of his acting background. He knows how to take the center of the stage. He knows when to look to the left and the right. And when he's making a point, he knows what he's ease with it. He's at ease with it. So I would recommend that every salesperson take that acting class.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about that.
Yeah.
In your book.
Yeah.
And one of my questions was going to be back to you, where's the mention of improv in there?
Yeah. There is no mention because I didn't realize that it was a process at that moment.
So it's interesting.
Like I feel like we need an addendum to the book.
We do need an addendum to the book.
And we'll put your school that people should fly in for, obviously.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
When you disagree with the prospect and you start going there in your mind and your mentality and your mindset, it's hard to overcome the objections because you're getting closed off to them. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about what the yes, the actual like staying positive piece does for your mindset.
You're hitting it. It's a mindset. It's staying in that positive mindset. And we embrace failure. I have one of my teachers who he teaches like a level three class for like the regular guy who signs up. And he teaches them in level three, embrace the suck. Like, you need to embrace that you're going to, and that's a good shout out for him because I know he would appreciate that. So that's for you, Kevin. He really teaches them embrace that failure piece of it because you're going to be supported by other people around you. But first of all, yes and yourself to get back up again. Every time I get pushed down in a no with a prospect, I just kind of step back and breathe and go, okay, there's another angle. Mm-hmm. What's the next and? So I just get excited about the no.
Cool.
I'm like, I can conquer this.
And do you think it helps you stay creative about finding a solution?
It highly creative. And I heard you talk on a podcast recently about critical thinking.
Ooh.
How do you think? How do you teach critical thinking? And this is something that we talk a lot about. It is teaching critical thinking because we're teaching people to slow down their thinking and to listen and to be quiet. And when you slow down and you are just quiet, you have time to process. And in that literal yes and exercise, one of the things we teach people is use that literal yes. You know what? We should do it. I should make you guys do it.
You know,
I want to do it. Like, yes. I'm sitting here and I want to do
it. We need to demonstrate
it. I want
it.
To do it.
So I'm going
to
throw a couple of other things at it. There is the improv. There is the acting. And for me, there's karaoke because that embraces you. You know the words. Now it's a matter of gesturing and bringing in the crowd with your dynamic performance, not your presentation.
Right.
So it is, and you've done the same thing in improv.
Right.
It's not a presentation; it's a performance.
Correct.
So you look at it from that thing, and when you talk about critical thinking, I think there's a line, a slash drawn that says it's also creative thinking.
Absolutely. I think of it as the same, actually.
Okay. Mm. So if you read Michael Mihalko's book called Thinker Toys, he has an example in there called Scamper. And Scamper is look at something from a different perspective and ask yourself questions of what can I substitute?
Change, add.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I forget what the P is.
Yeah.
Something at the end is
uses.
Remove.
Yeah.
Put to other uses.
What can I reverse or rearrange? So
you're
asking yourself these questions, and if you master Scamper, you'll automatically begin to create answers for yourself in the improv situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a definite correlation.
I meant to do that in the red bit, and I forgot to.
Yeah,
so.
It's okay. No problem.
So are there other strategies that improv gives salespeople that our diehards should know about?
Sure. It starts with the yes and. So the yes and is that listen piece, mm-hmm. that lean in piece. Here's the thing about being quiet. When you stop talking, and we see this like in a show as performers, when we get on stage and we have nothing, that's like everyone, like, I have nothing. And I can look at my partner and we're on stage together and we will literally have eye contact where we're talking with our eyes like, I got nothing. You got nothing? We got nothing. And we won't say anything. And we'll just use our environment. We'll move around the environment. We'll start doing things physically in the environment until we speak. And in that entire process, the audience literally, you can hear a needle drop and they lean in, which is why we get so good at presentations because they lean in. The more they lean in, the longer we drag out the silence.
I think that there's a strategy that you have to employ that the longer you pause, the louder you have to be when you restart.
Absolutely.
This makes me mad. You know what I mean? I'm sitting here seething.
Yeah. Well, and then we call that contrast. So the two keys of comedy.
Oh, well.
Contrast and repetition.
Okay, those are two of the keys, but there's others.
There are others, but those are the things that we talk about in improv. Like if you want to get – so we don't teach people how to be funny. That's what we say. Funny happens. Funny happens when you are hyper aware and you pay attention. So there's another strategy of paying attention to what's going on in your environment so that you can capitalize on that. Repetition for us could be – mirroring, let's say, a prospect or mirroring the audience by repeating something back to them that they're familiar with because we've just interviewed them. Like, who's here from North Carolina? Like, most of our audience is from North Carolina. Who's here from North Carolina? And then we will weave that into the show. Like, oh, yeah, how about Charlotte? And somehow that'll show up in the show. So that becomes part of the repeat because people will laugh at something that they can relate to. So repeat and relate kind of the
same.
Yeah,
like the third laugh.
Right. Yeah, so we don't go beyond three. We have our rule of three. And when they go—
That's the standard rule of comedy, though.
Right. And I will literally, when they go past three, I like, they get a lashing later. I'm like, why'd you guys do that?
But there's also—
Yes, and.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there's also, at the end, maybe towards the end of that same dialogue, you recall.
Yes. We recall throughout. Yes, we recall throughout the whole show, so that's that repeat part. And so every time we do a recall, they're like they die laughing because it's about them. So the strategy is to make it about the audience and to not make it about us. The contrast is when we do something they didn't see coming, like the loud voice, right? It's so quiet, and then you yell. So doing something completely the opposite.
So give me that in a sales situation. I understand that in an improv situation. Now take it to the presentation or with a prospect.
You know, you could do something so subtle. One of our larger clients is a hotel group of 70 hotels, and she had been on my prospect list for years, and I just like kept working it. And then I went back to the list one day and just started doing my prospecting, and I emailed her because you have understanding their communication styles. And I said, hey, wanted to catch up with you, see what's going on. And her response was, I have all your information. I hear you guys are really good. You know, the standard, like, we'll call you.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Right. And I said, I just wanted to catch up with you personally and see what's going on. And so it seemed to have thrown her because her reaction was, oh, okay. And so I said, I just want to. So,
oh, you want to talk about me, most important person in the world.
Right. So giving them what they're not expecting in how you talk to them, handle them, how you service them. Like that same client, we're doing a big ROI project with them to measure all the training we've done, which I came up with a yes and challenge contest for their whole sales team.
That's cool.
So that's giving cool. them the extra, giving them the extra value. I mean, we did the training and I came back and said, hey, I want to do this for you. I don't want to charge you for it. I just want to do it so we can measure it. So it was unexpected.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You can find those unexpected. And even in that, when I got on that personal call, by the end of the call, I never pitched anything. I never said I'm selling anything. I was just shooting the shit with her. And she said, you know, we got this thing coming up. And I was like, yes. You know, you hear it.
You hear it. You can feel it.
You hear it. I was like, well, we've got this. We do this sales training blitz every summer. And I'm like,
I was wondering if you.
I love that.
That's cool.
Could you put together a proposal, you know?
You're like, it's ready. When should I send it?
Okay, so Gina just did a thing called redirect where the customer was expecting a pitch. And she goes, no, this is about you. Mm-hmm. And redirecting is probably as powerful a piece in comedy as exists.
Absolutely.
There's a classic Robin Williams joke where a rabbi walks into a bar with a frog on his shoulder, and the bartender says, where'd you get that? And the frog says, I got them over in Williamsburg. There's hundreds of them over there. But you weren't expecting that.
True.
Right.
And so that unexpected piece gives you an opportunity to continue the dialogue. And that's what you're hoping for.
Right.
Because if you'd have said, I am following up about the shit that I've been giving you for the last month and you've hung up on me and you really aren't interested in this. Oh, and I also heard you're a cheap bastard, so you're probably not going to move forward. Rather, she said, no, I didn't do that. I'm talking about you.
But most salespeople would have just gone away. They would have thought, so she's right. I was just checking in to see if she's going to buy now.
Right. Most salespeople be like, hey, checking in. Oh, okay, no. Okay, bye.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. We're going to have a conversation if it kills you.
Exactly. So we checked into a hotel in New York City 2 days ago, and the guy says, checking in. I said, no, I'm here for my hair transplant. What do you think? And immediately, the person behind the desk is engaged, is smiling. They're going to give me any advantage I possibly can get if I ask for it. Maybe it's a better room. Maybe
I think
it's
that's why we got upgraded.
Yeah. Okay, but think about it from the standpoint of you're in sales and you're trying to make an impression that's favorable and funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Favorable and funny. And it's the easiest way if you make the other person smile or laugh, if you inject humor, which part of improv was humor.
Right.
SCTV made it because they were funny as hell.
Yeah.
Not the Chicago version, the Canada version.
No, I know which one you're talking about.
Okay.
But I studied at Second City, the American version.
Well, but it morphed into Ed DeBevick, which was all negative.
Oh my gosh, Ed DeBevick, that's a throwback.
Yeah, it is a throwback.
Yeah, but that morphed into.
We'll have to tell you about it.
Yeah, that morphed into the thing in Myrtle Beach where they insult you when you go into the.
Yeah, I mean they.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it's called, Dick's Last Resort.
Dick's Last Resort.
Yes.
And I mean that's their whole thing. They're all about the insult, but that's not. You don't want to walk into a prospect and go, God, you're ugly.
That's probably not a good thing.
It probably wouldn't work.
But if you self-efface, I'm here for my hair transplant.
Yes.
Yes.
And especially if the other guy's bald. If the other guy's bald, I win so big it's not even funny.
As long as they're okay with their baldness.
Well,
some guys
everyone's
are
okay with it. If you're bald, they're bald. Believe me when I tell you
It comes down to being real.
Yeah.
Right? It comes down to being authentically who you are and saying, you know what? I mean, I'm the first one to be like, oh, I screwed that up. Sorry.
Okay. So that's a very important foundational piece.
Yes.
You have to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, hey, I'm calling about you.
Right. How do you like it so far?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I never go into any call, even podcasting. The Pivotal Leader, and we have a new podcast launching we're excited about, but The Pivotal Leader, what I've learned from that podcast, and there was a major strategy behind that podcast. My strategy with that podcast was, how do I get in front of CEOs?
Mm-hmm.
How do I get in front of them? How do I get in front of them? So I had a mentor who had given me you need to be involved in Vistage and you need to get – so I thought, well, I'll create a podcast where I interview CEOs.
Perfect.
So I can get in front of them.
Right.
Yep.
And so that took off. And then I got better in that interview process. And as I would interview CEOs and make it all about them or thought leaders – I slowly got better at – now, this is the other thing we do in improv. We seed everything throughout the show, like a little bit with the recall. So how do you seed in a sales conversation? Okay. So I will now seed. Well, I will bring up I will do my research on the guest. I will look at their book. I will then call something out and be like, oh, that section where you talk about listening and being curious, can we talk about that? And then I'll let them talk about it and I'll be like, oh, have you ever thought about – have you ever used improv to improve that?
Yeah.
Right? And then and the guy goes, oh, no. Do you do that? I said, oh, yeah, we do. Oh, we should talk, right?
The subtle sales seed.
The subtle, I like that.
You talk to a CEO. Hi, my name is Gina. How do you like me so far? But I think that in that particular situation, I've often told salespeople, go interview the CEO about themselves or their leadership, but never tell them what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, well, if the guy says, do you do that? I would say, well, let's talk about that after the interview.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said. I said, we do that. Let's talk about that.
Not we do that. I say, let's just leave it a mystery.
Okay.
I vote mystery.
Okay.
And that way, the other person...
It's already live. I can't cut that one out, but I'll do that for
you. No, it's okay. You can cut it out. Forget, yes, we can do that. Audience, diehards, you forget that.
Don't do as I say.
Well, oh, man.
No, I'm
only... Don't do as she says.
Those are just two different strategies.
They're two different
strategies. You can deliver it or you cannot deliver it.
But I think it is also about reading your audience and knowing, mm-hmm. Is this an okay audience to say that to? And... I'm very selective with that. It's mm-hmm. not like I do it every time, but if I feel like the rapport has been created, why can't I answer that?
You know, it's funny. The guy who you cold call is going to hang up on you anyway for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just say, hi, my name is Jeffrey. How do you like me so far? It's better than what, it's better than what you're saying.
Oh.
I'm calling about your advertising needs.
Yeah.
Click.
Yeah.
Okay, so this has been amazing. I have one last question before we wrap.
Are we done already?
I know, it's crazy town. So if I'm a diehard who thinks I'm not that funny and I want to get funnier in my sales presentations.
You start out with, how do you like me so far?
That's your idea.
Oh.
Okay, I want to know what Gina says. Oh. Where should they start? Where should we start?
Yeah.
With me?
Okay.
Well, or in general.
In general.
In general. So you're a diehard and you're like, okay, this improv idea sounds like a good idea and I was afraid of it. Start in your own town. Find out, just wherever you live, is there an improv theater that offers classes? Mm-hmm. That would be the first thing to do.
Okay.
Is there one in Charlotte?
Why would we go to Charlotte? We're going to go to Gina's.
No, we're here in Charlotte.
Yeah, in Charlotte, they come and go. So it hasn't been the most stable improv scene.
I think there is an improv here, actually.
There might be. In South Carolina, there's only like three of us that are have improv theaters.
Really? All right. So,
So it's a theater?
So go to a local improv.
Yeah, go to a local improv theater. So we do have an improv theater called Carolina Improv in Myrtle Beach. So we do shows and classes. So you ideally want to find someone who has that. Now, there are places where you can take improv classes, but they're not necessarily in a theater. And there's nothing wrong with that. The nice thing about a theater is that you can actually then, we encourage them, come see shows so you can see it being applied.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you learn better.
Do students film back of themselves?
No, not yet. We just started filming classes because we try to create a really safe environment.
If you want to show somebody how bad they suck, just show them themselves.
We bring in level one, we bring them in all gentle because it's creating a safe space.
I'm telling you, it's not that safe. I mean, they're going, they're going out to, you know, they want to use it right away. Salespeople want to learn something and take it out in the street and use it.
Well, that's our spontaneous
selling. So if you give them the video, you say, after you look at this, you may see that it's not quite time to use it yet.
All right. We're going to put your school in the show notes in case people do want to fly out there and go to it.
Sure.
I want to do it.
Come
for sure.
You can come do the Women Your Mother Warned You About podcast live in Myrtle Beach.
Yes, that'll be so fun.
Oh, yeah.
So
Chicks
fun.
What Do
Look,
podcast.
She's planting a seed for the Women Your Mother Warned You About podcast coming soon.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Love it.
Don't talk to podcasters?
maybe.
Yeah. So, Gina, it is a pleasure. Thank you for driving here, first of all.
Yeah, thank you.
Second of all, thank you for bringing something to the diehard audience that they were not expecting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
I wasn't. I was expecting you to wax on your business about training salespeople, and in fact, you diverted me into the whole process of improv, and it's valid.
Gina's a smart cookie.
Yeah. Not only is it valid, in my opinion, it's valuable.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you.
And I think that if you're serious about being a little bit different than your competitor, then you might want to ditch your slides in favor of something more creative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you can start your slide. Slide one, I hate slides, and I'm not using them. And then slide two is see slide one. And then you go into your own presentation.
A lot of our training is without slides at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Completely no slides.
Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
And where can people find you online?
Yeah.
Oh, you can find me all over online. LinkedIn, Gina Tremarco. Instagram, Gina Tremarco. Facebook, Gina Tremarco. Twitter, Gina Tremarco.
I'm noticing a trend here.
There's a trend.
Yeah.
Gina
Pivot10results.com. CarolinaImprov.com. Just Google Gina Tremarco.
There's only one.
There's two. There's actually another Gina Tremarco in Chicago, but she's like an architect or something.
Come on.
Yeah. Those architects.
I rank higher than she does in the Google search.
Okay.
So.
There you go. Cool.
So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Diehards, go to GinaTremarco.com.
I do have the domain.
Okay, so Jeffrey, Gina brings up the concept of seeding the sale, which is simply doing your research before your sales call. Seems logical, right? Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about how much research our diehards should do before a sales call and what kind of research. Let's dig into this.
Well, research is easier these days because of Mother Google.
Yep.
You can Google all kinds of things. I tend
to start out with the website of the company to get a general overview. But then I look for the staff. I look for the management. I look for the leadership. And I look to see what kind of people run the company. Mm. Not just the CEO. I want to see who the CMO is, who the director of HR is, if anybody that I possibly can find. And I have a couple of secrets that I'm going to pass along.
It's funny because my dad, his hobby is like stock stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what he does. but
stock stuff.
Yeah, stock stuff. And so before he will invest in a company, he will do research on the entire board. He wants to know every single person that is on that board. He wants to know every person that's on the executive leadership team. And he does his research. You know, he digs in. Yeah. And so, like, that's the same thing with a sale. You should go in depth, maybe not into the board, but unless they're the decision makers, but you should go in depth into each person and how they're going to play a role in your sale and what is going to be most meaningful or impactful or emotional to them to get to the sale.
I feel like the more you know about the company and their products and maybe even their marketplace, the easier it's going to be for you to engage in conversation. You don't have to tell the other person all that you know, but when you know it, you can create a deeper conversation with them, and the other person, male or female, will get the fact that you know about them mm-hmm. and that you've done your homework. Mm-hmm. My dad has always said he called it homework. And every person hates homework when they're in school. I love homework. I love the fact – I hated it in school. I didn't – the dog always ate mine, if you know what I mean. But once you get into the real world, you realize that if you don't do homework, you're in trouble.
So I have some homework for you. There's a couple light bulbs that need changing.
Thanks for that.
No problem.
But I'm going to throw one other thing at you, salespeople, diehard salespeople in general. If you want to find out every single thing about any company on the planet, call their sales department. Mm-hmm. Ask for a salesperson and say, hey, I'm in sales, you're in sales, we're both in sales. If you could help me out with some inside info in your company, I would be ever so grateful. And you will find out about that CEO, where he plays golf, where he went to college, what his kids, you know, anything you need. The salespeople know the inside scoop, and they can help you get familiar with any info you need. I've done it for years. It works. It's fun. You get to know somebody. Now I can send them a book or something. But it's amazing what that one single tip can do for anybody, including each of you diehards.
Access the sales brother and sisterhood.
Yeah,
exactly. And they're so much more willing to sit down for coffee. Yeah. Normally they're the ones expensing the coffee, and now you're taking them to coffee. It's actually fun for them, you know?
A phone call. It's unbelievable what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And remember to say yes and.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
that's right.
And thank you very much.
So here's a tricky one.
Yeah.
Last night at 7:30 at night, I get a call from our answering service. They forward it to my phone. Okay. And it's a prospect on the phone.
Sort of.
He was an asshole. But
well, some prospects are.
But I kept saying yes and, okay. And he's a prospect. And I am not at a computer. I want to do my research. He won't give me his last name. I can't Google him. Okay. So diehards, I'm sure you've been in a similar situation. Someone calls your phone at night. They're like, urgent. I need this. I need this. There's usually no sales emergencies for us, but to him, we were having one.
So wait, hold on. So a prospect called you.
Yes.
Well, it was transferred from the answering service. Well,
but they called you.
Yes. I mean,
they called us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't give
His last name, no.
This is not a social security number.
I know. It was freaking nuts. And I asked him two or three questions first of all, I didn't even know his first name. So I asked him, could I get your name? Because I wanted to, like, use his name in the conversation. And that set him off the edge. Okay. He was like, I don't want a million questions, ma'am. I was like,
let's start with one.
I'm just trying to help you, sir. Why are you No, but here's the thing. Okay. We can talk about that situation another time because it is a story for the books. But when a prospect calls you, and you don't have that time to do the pre-call research,
yeah,
you have to have prepared a list of questions that you can ask and know them off the top of your head to know what's going to help you further the sale. I knew there were 3 to 4 things I needed to know in order to be able to help him most.
When I talk to a group and they're a prospective customer for a seminar of ours, mm-hmm, and there'll be 2 or 3 people on the call, I will say, seasons notwithstanding, I will say, let's assume that I'm sales Santa Claus and I can bring you anything you need. What would you like me to bring you to this meeting? And what would you like the outcome of that meeting to be? And every single person is in thought zone at that moment in time about what the prime piece of information they want to extend to me, and they give me how to sell them.
Exactly. So let's break that down, right? You are making the question in terms of them.
Yep.
Okay, now that's number one. Number two, they are coming up with what they want you to deliver.
Right.
Die hard. You can do that too.
Every single time.
You can do that too.
All right, so I got to go Christmas shopping. I got big things to do.
My list?
Yes, I did. I ignored it.
I actually didn't make one.
Oh. I saw Gabrielle's list.
Oh, my God. She has these, like, crazy-ass expensive items on her list. Where does she think this comes from? Does she really think Santa is delivering this?
I think she does.
This was the best, right? So she got an iPhone. She wanted a vlog camera. And I was like, well, why don't we just get you the iPhone instead and you can vlog using the camera on your iPhone? Okay, because I knew she was going to want the iPhone. So we killed 2 birds with 1 stone and we made that deal, right?
Yeah.
So now on her Christmas list, see a vlog camera.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, but I thought we got you the iPhone. She goes, this is from Santa, Jen.
Yeah.
Talk about supreme salesperson at 9.
With Santa.
This is from Santa.
Listen, Santa is the decision maker.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, is
naughty
it?
Or nice. The
right.
Ultimate decision.
Right.
Exactly.
She's already told me our dogs are naughty.
Oh, my God. So they will get stuff. We will get stuff. We are getting out of here right now. I am very grateful for your listenership.
Yes, I
am. What do we got going on?
I am too. Okay, on Wednesday, we have a sales manager spotlight with Dan Costello.
Ooh.
And so if you're a sales manager looking to stay ahead, and all the salespeople who are looking to get ahead or stay ahead, this is a can't miss episode. Then on Thursday, we have Dr. Greg Story.
Who's really cool, by the way.
Yeah, he's from the Dale Carnegie Institute of Japan, and he's going to talk about making sales internationally and what the differences are between selling in Japan and selling in America. There are some interesting differences.
And pay attention, because Sony and Toyota have not done bad over the years.
Yeah, exactly. And then Friday, we have our favorite best of episode, where we take the best of from every week and put it into one bite-sized episode. So, if you're looking to introduce someone to Sell or Die, the Friday episode is a great one to send them.
Yep, I agree. Just send them the link and they will, and say, by the way, after you listen, subscribe. That would be the greatest thing. We would be very appreciative. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm challenging you to get out there and sell something, even if your Christmas ass falls off.
Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.